Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Hey, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I am Michelle, your new host of amazing authors and brilliant books. My partner, Bethany Kelly, has said, Michelle, you run with this year. And I said, I will. And I'm delighted to introduce our guest today, because we're going to be talking about re-releasing your book. So I'm excited to introduce, and we're going to talk today about how to market your book for your business and your brand. But more than that, if any of our attendees and our listeners have ever published a book, there's real value to looking at how to re-release your book. And Penny Sansevieri is the CEO of Author Marketing Experts Incorporated. A couple things to know about her is she is not only founder and CEO and advises authors, but she too is a best-selling author, and I have heard her speak. She's internationally recognized as a book marketing and media relations expert. So she also teaches as an adjunct professor on self-publishing at New York University, and she is the author of, dig this, listeners, 14 books, including How to Sell Your Books by the Truckload. I've heard her speak. She's amazing. Penny, say hello to our listeners. And welcome.
Hello. Thank you so much, Michelle, for inviting me to be on the show. I'm really excited to chat with you.
We are buggers. We bug. We bug when we want people on the show, and you're all that. I mean, who doesn't want to sell a truckload of books if you're an author based on all the things that you share? And I know you're a busy lady, so we thank you for being on the show today. But, you know, I there's so many things that I guess I see. You know, we own a publishing company and a division of Connected Women of Influence called Women Lead Publishing. And, you know, getting the book done is just part of the battle, right? I mean, then, you know, once you get your book published, the question is, how do you market your book? And I know there's so many things you should do, you know, in the beginning of it. And this is where you are such an expert online and with Amazon. But today, I want to focus on, you know, those of our listening audience who maybe have a book and some of the do's and don'ts or benefits and opportunities along with what to watch out for in re-releasing your book. So let's kick off and give me some ideas on why would somebody want to re-release their book, and is it possible?
Well, it's definitely possible, and I've done it many times, in fact. The challenge that sometimes authors face is that you get to a point, so you publish your book, you're promoting your book, you're doing all this other stuff, and, you know, a year after it's out, you're like, oh, man, I wish I would have known X, Y, Z, or I wish the cover would have been stronger, or there's something going on in the news that ties into your book in one of the most brilliant ways, right? Those are all valid reasons to re-release your book, or maybe even in some cases, like your brand has changed, you know, because we're always, especially, you know, women in business, we're always evolving and growing. So there are reasons to kind of look at your book and say, you know what, I think this book could use a reboot, or in some cases, maybe it's a rewrite, or in some cases, maybe it's just the redo of the cover, as I mentioned. Those are all possible, and it's all possible, and Amazon actually is a very easy system to work with to re-release the book. If you're going to re-release a book, I recommend, you know, don't overthink the process. Think realistically, what is actually bugging you about the book? Maybe it's just the promotion, right? You think, oh, I could have done better. Or I had an author who contacted me last week. She was like, oh, all of a sudden we were in the middle of this move and this book got forgotten and it's 9 months later and we're settled and can I still do something with this book? That kind of a thing. Does that make sense?
It does. And, you know, I mean, it leads to 20,000 questions, which is, I'm curious, George, on all of this, you know, on behalf of our authors. Because I think, you know, I've met authors over the years, and one of them in particular, a friend of mine, I mean, he had his self-published book. And then, you know, what he used his self-published book for was literally to shop around and find traditional publishers. And I'm curious, I mean, is that, he did it. I've known probably a handful of people that have done it, but would that be a benefit or a motivation as well to try to, if the self-published book has done well, to re-release and get a traditional publisher as a result of it?
Potentially. I mean, there are, yes, you can do that. Some publishers, though, they won't necessarily care about the re-release. Like, they'll look at the original book and they'll think, oh, this is something that they might want to re-release, for example, right? Under their publishing umbrella. The other thing is that if you have a book that's done well, which I realize this gets off topic just slightly, but if you have a book that's done really well and you want to try to shop it to a publisher, sometimes publishers may feel like you have sold out of your market. So in other words, that you sold all the books that you're going to sell, and the book is probably not going to do much more even if they do take it. That's an opportunity for you then to talk to them about future books that you want to publish. So look at how well I did with this one, and I built my platform, and I have my base, and I have my mailing list, and all this other stuff. These are future ideas for books. That's actually maybe a more viable plan for most authors, I think.
Got it. Well, you know, I mean, again, I know this is where you're expert on. You know, what most people, and I'm kind of looking at our audience as self-published authors that are nonfiction works, right, that, you know, when you start thinking about, oh, things have changed, right, or maybe the information needs to be updated, do you recommend then that people, you know, I know you're such an expert on Amazon, do they keep their same author profile on Amazon and they swap it out and call it like a second edition, or what are some tips that you have for authors on that and how they can re-release, and, you know, can they keep their Amazon page? I know you know, kind of presented me with some things to kind of keep in mind before the show that just said, you know, these are, would you lose your reviews, that kind of thing. So what happens with Amazon, and what do you recommend if somebody re-releases a book? What are the steps?
Well, what Amazon has told me is that if the book is updated only by 20%, so if only 20% of the book is updated, that you can essentially publish over the existing book. So an example of that is that when I re-released Red Hot Internet Publicity, which now is due for another rewrite and re-release, I put it up on Amazon, and I told Amazon, I said, listen, I would like for you to publish this over the copy that was published in 2004, let's say. I don't remember the exact year. But that way, thereby keeping the reviews, having the new edition. Now, one of the things that I make sure and do, because initially when you do this, if you, let's say the book is published in 2004, right, you're going to have a bunch of reviews that are dated, unless you've continually gotten reviews for the book, you're going to have a bunch of reviews that look sort of dated. So one of the things, yeah, I would recommend is in the first line of the book description, I would say, you know, newly updated edition as of January 2019 or whatever. That way, that's the first thing they see, and if they see the old reviews, it kind of jives, like it makes sense. But it's a fairly simple process to do, and generally what I say is that if you're going to update the book more than 20%, and Amazon doesn't always, I mean, here's the problem with Amazon, is they're a little bit of a moving target. So I've had books that have been updated 40% that Amazon has published over the other books. What they usually do is they'll go through like the table of contents of the book, and they'll see if that's radically changed. They probably won't let you keep your original review, so you'll still have the older book up there. But it's not always the case. So it is a little bit like, I would publish it and then expect to lose the reviews, and then, you know, getting them back is kind of a big win. If Amazon isn't willing to budge on this, so let's say, for example, you follow all the rules and you have your book's 20% updated and your table of contents is the same, and Amazon is still not willing to publish this book over the other one and thereby retaining the reviews, what you can do is change the intro line on the book description on the older book and say, hey, newly published edition here with a customized bit.ly that's easy for them to follow. and they can just copy it and paste it in their browser and get the newer book. So that's one way to kind of defeat that purpose.
Yeah, and these might be dumb questions, Penny, but because, you know, again, you're the expert on this, but for for listeners that have a book, does your old book go away, or does it stays on Amazon? And I know some authors actually still have, I mean, if it's an older book, they might not even be on Kindle, or like I know some that are still on Amazon Advantage. Does that make sense? How does it, those are getting particular, but they're not even on-demand books. I remember some authors, and myself included, it's like you physically send books to be able to have Amazon distribute them on Amazon Advantage.
It depends a little bit on, how it's published. Now, if you have all the rights to your book, so if you've self-published your book, you can have Amazon pull it down. It'll take a little bit of time. And by that I mean that if you have, for example, as many of us do, we have other people selling our books on Amazon. If you've sent a book out to a reviewer and they've decided to post it as a used copy on Amazon, those are still going to kind of float around for a while, the older book. But if you own all the rights to the book, there's no reason that you can't pull it off of Amazon. And one of the things that I suggest, so let's say, for example, you worked with a publisher, an indie publisher, and they are kind of giving you a hard time about pulling the book off of Amazon, right? Or pulling the book
down. Tell our listeners what an indie publisher is, just so everybody knows if they're not on that page.
So an indie publisher might be somebody who, like, for example, Author Solutions, who might be, or Balboa Press, or something like that, who will, essentially, they're just a vehicle for putting your book up on Amazon, right? So they don't do any cover design. They might in some cases, but they are basically just a vehicle for putting your book up on Amazon. And sometimes, like an Ex Libris I know has some challenges with this too, is they, like in their contract or somewhere, it says you have to keep the book on Amazon, up on Amazon for 2 or 3 years. It doesn't mean that you don't have the rights to the book, but it just says, we're not going to remove your book even if you beg us to. In that case, what I would suggest that you do is go to your Author Central page or go to your Author Central page, go to the back end, and click on the Contact Us or the Help button, and have a conversation with Amazon, because that is one of the best ways to reach Amazon through Author Central. If you have a book, for example, if the cover is wrong, if it's an old cover, if you can't remove the book on Amazon, if you're trying to see if they can publish the book over, publish your new edition over the older edition, you want to contact them directly through Author Central. And I would call them first, and they can direct you, Author Central can direct you to pretty much anybody in Amazon. They can direct you to, Kindle Direct Publishing if you publish that way. They can direct you to pretty much anybody who can help you. Anytime I have a challenge, I always pick up the phone and have them, they usually have to give you a call, but I will always have them call me.
Got it. I mean, can you share? I mean, I know you've had so many authors you work with, and I want to get into you and your services a little bit too in our time, but, I guess a lot of authors don't even think about, republishing their book, which I think is pretty cool, because things get outdated. I mean, I've known authors that, when you look at 5 years ago or 6 years ago, it's like how business is done today is so different, right? Things change so quickly now. So that makes a lot of sense. Kind of share a little bit. I mean, how did you, I know you've got a great story, so how did you get into being a book marketing expert? Because you are, you're muy famosa, so our listeners know that you've got this clout and this credibility, but how did you get into doing this for authors?
Well, I mean, it was kind of accidentally. I started the business as a marketing consultant after I got laid off twice in 1 year, which made me feel like a complete loser. And that was over 18 years ago. And I started doing consulting. And it was kind of, it was a little serendipitous at the time because independent publishing was just coming, I don't want to say coming into its own, but print on demand was just becoming a thing in the industry. And what I discovered at that time was that no publicist wanted to touch an independently published author because they didn't know how to deal with the book. Like they would, if the book wasn't in bookstores nationwide, which of course 18 years ago that was the case in most cases, they didn't know where to start. So that was what I focused on. And we have since then worked with traditionally published authors, and we've had big national bestsellers and we've had all of that stuff. But the core market that we've always focused on has been the independently published author. And now indie publishing is the new black, right? Now everybody, you know, and celebrities, and we've, you know, we've worked with several of them who have independently published because they want to keep the rights to the book. They want to write the book they want to write. And they want to publish it quickly, which is another big benefit of independent publishing. And I'm fairly impatient. So when I write a book, you know, and most of my content also gets dated. Like I was mentioning earlier, Red Hot Internet Publicity is probably needs about a 25% update, which is a big deal for an internet marketing book, right? Because it's always, a, you know, especially I think places like Facebook, they're always moving targets. But it's a great, you know, it's just a great way to get quicker to market. So that's how I, that was where my focus started. And here we are, 18 plus.
I love it. Well, what, you're amazing. I mean, I'm just going to say that so all of our listeners know that. Woohoo. But, you know, when somebody repurposes their book or they revise it and they, you know, do another edition, it's like, do you have kind of a story of somebody that went through that and what really were the kind of like pluses that happened as a result of it? I mean, it costs money to do it. It takes time to do it. You know, obviously, if your old book is on Amazon, it's like changing all that up. But without telling who it is, can you kind of share a story of where you've had a client that has gone through a revise and it really was a magical thing to do?
Well, and that's a great question because we've actually had a number of clients who have done this. And we've had authors who, so we, this, here's an interesting story. So we had an author who actually got her rights back to her novel that was originally traditionally published. And her publisher just pretty much forgot who she was the minute that the book hit the market, which is sad. But happens a lot more than authors care to admit. And she got the rights back to the book. She republished the book. Now she's 25 books later because she just keeps writing, and I don't know how she has all this time or how she just brilliant. And she's built her platform. She's built her fan base. She's got all of this stuff. She owns all the rights to the book. She can do whatever she wants with them. She can create the cover she wants, and she's making money. And so now she is the driver of her own destiny, right? In another case, we had an author who wanted to, with his nonfiction book, he really felt like, you know, it was, again, it was one of those things where he was running a business and things just got really busy and his book came out and it kind of fell flat. And he realized that the title was really wrong for the audience. Like as he started to get feedback on the book, the title was really wrong. The cover wasn't good enough. You know, the cover really wasn't right for the audience. And he wasn't getting the kind of business or speaking gigs that he wanted to get out of the book. And he couldn't figure out why. So we republished it. And we worked with him. We don't do cover design, but I worked with him to kind of help him figure out what his market, what his right market was. We brainstormed some title ideas and things like that. And he's republished the book and since gotten speaking and business. And, you know, we as authors know when the book, like even if you publish a book and you think, you know, I know, like, everybody that you know, like your neighbors and your friends and your mom, they're all going to love everything that you do. But it's when you start to get your reader feedback. I mean, you know, it's just, it's true, right?
Yeah.
But the readers will be brilliantly honest with you. And that's one of the things I love most about readers is that they will tell you if they, you know, what they thought, like, oh, I wish there had been more of this. I wish there had been less of that. And one of the ways that you can kind of tell, even if you don't have any direct contact with readers, is go onto Amazon and take a look at some of your reviews. Now, I know there are a lot of people who are fans of, like, don't read any of your bad reviews because it'll ruin your day. But I feel like if you can read negative reviews in a constructive way. I mean, there are constructive negative reviews, and then there are just negative reviews that are just, well, you must have just run over this person's cat or something. Like, there's just, this person despises you for reasons that you may never know, right?
Those are called the get a life ones. I call those the get a life reviews, but yes, I do know those.
But, you know, I've had reviews where people, so let me give you an example. When I first published Red Hot Internet Publicity, which this is its fourth edition, right? When I first published the book, I had a blogger write the most scathing blog on this book. And it was horrifying. And it literally was like, I'm rocking in a corner, like reading this blog, right? So I contacted him I just contacted him. I said, gosh, I'm so, you know, after a couple of days and hyperventilating and some wine, I contacted him and I said, you know, I'm so sorry that you were so disappointed by this book. And he said, you know what? He goes, I just broke up with my girlfriend. I was having a terrible day. Let me pull the blog down. I did think that the book had some problems with it, but let me rewrite this post. So he rewrote the post, which was decidedly less caustic, and then but there was all the takeaways from that blog were he mentioned some really great things, and I actually contacted him in the second edition. I said, you know what? It's because of you that I made these changes, and it made the book so much better. So that's an extreme case, but if you can step back from reader feedback and look at it, you can really pull a lot of great ideas out of, like, oh, I wish I would have seen more of this. I wish there had been a chapter on whatever. You know, like, oh my gosh, that's a great idea. How did I manage to overlook that? So when you do the second edition, because publishing a second edition for the sake of publishing a second edition without doing the research is kind of a waste, right? So you do want to spend a little bit of time doing some due diligence. If you don't really have a lot, like if you have no reviews on the book on Amazon, you're like, well, Penny, I have nothing to go by because the book doesn't even have any reviews, then take a look at other similar books in your area and see what readers are saying about those books, what they liked, what they loved, what they wanted to see more of, or what they wanted to see less of. And as you're starting to reinvent your book for the re-release, consider that input as well.
I think this is fabulous. I mean, you know, and overall, it's like this, I wanted to talk a little bit about marketing, but can you, just for our audience, it's like kind of share the services that you offer to authors. I know you have a variety of service packages, but kind of give a little overview of what you do for people who have self-published a book or for other publishers. I know you do both.
Well, the first step is what we do is we do a blend of marketing and publicity, which essentially means that we do book marketing like Amazon optimization and, you know, Goodreads promos and ebook promos, and then the publicity piece of it, which is pitching it to the media, national, trade, regional, all of that, online blogger media, online magazine media, things like that. What we do per book really depends on the book and the author and the author's goals. So generally, I'll do an intake call with an author, and I'll get some, you know, information from them, find out their goals, talk to them about, you know, why they published the book in the first place, like what was your reasoning behind that, are you publishing more books, and then put together a proposal for them. But it all is based on, you know, the genre of the book, the goals of the author. And then I also do one-on-one consultations for folks who just want to spend a little bit of time on the phone and figure out, like, for example, when I published my book on How to Revise and Re-release Your Book, I had a lot of calls from people saying, okay, I read the book. I want to do a marketing call with you to decide if this is the right option for me.
Very cool. Well, I mean, I know we've got a link to your site, so, you know, just if you can share with our audience, it's like, what's your website? How do you want to be reached with people reaching out to you if they're interested in talking to you further past our radio show today?
So they can reach me at amarketingexpert.com is the website, and then my email address is penny@amarketingexpert.com.
Woohoo! All right. Well, I want to kind of go a little bit bigger picture and further. With self-published authors, you know, what are some minimum basic things that you would say if you decide to be a do-it-yourself or DIY, you know, what would be, or here's a first question, Penny. It's like, you know, so many people feel like it's so expensive to publish a book, right? It's like you birthed this like baby. And then, you know, the reality sets in is like, oh, I got to market my book, right? I mean, we see so many authors that, you know, they want to increase their thought leadership. They want to go get more speaking engagements with it. They want it to, you know, up-level their credibility. What do you find of some of the tips that you might suggest to authors that are out there in our listening audience or that will listen in on this show someday that you can say, you know, these are some of the really key things to hone in on, you know, with your book before you do it or even once it's published? Can you share just a couple gems? Because I know you've got many.
Well, I think that one of the biggest things that are not, so we now live in a world where there are about 4,500 books published every day in this country, right?
Wow,
so your
that's a lot.
Biggest asset, I know, it's kind of, it's, the good news about that is that 95% or even higher of those authors, and you know this as a publisher, don't do anything to market their books, right? So they kind of, they believe that their book is the field of dreams, and they feel like if they write it, people are going to beat a path to their door. The biggest asset that you can have as an author are your readers. So one of the things I recommend, you know, a lot of people talk about, you got to pitch bloggers, you got to get national reviews, you got to pitch media, you got to do events. All of those things are great. But the thing that is going to carry you through from book to book to book is going to be your readers. And even if you only plan to publish one book. So starting out by, you know, obviously you want to have a website, you want to have a sign up for a newsletter. But even bigger than that, is I recommend putting a letter in the back of your book to invite readers to contact you directly. And make it very simple, make it really easy. Have, you know, put an email address. Look at, reach out to me. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to get your feedback on what you thought about the book. Love to get a review on Amazon. You got to ask for it. Make sure to put that reader contact in there and start to build your fan base. And here's the interesting thing about a fan base. When people talk about fan bases, the first thing that comes to mind is thousands and thousands and thousands of people on your mailing list. But you actually really don't need that many. You really only need, I mean, honestly, I've talked to authors who have five really, really avid readers. And those five readers are sharing her book news or book launches or book promos or whatever on their social media. So for every very avid reader that you have, you know, amplifies your message, maximizes everything that you do to their tribe as well. So I'm not encouraging necessarily authors to think small, but I want you to realize that if you're building your fan base, these are the people that are going to help you to get reviews. Like they're, you know, an avid fan, a super fan, actually helps you to market your book. So all of the other things are great, but I really encourage authors to focus on building your readership and having that one-on-one connection. And one of the things that you're going to want to do with those readers is you are going to want to have a relationship with them, you know, in email or maybe it's just on social media, whatever that is, where you are, you know, you're connecting with them early about it, the next release, or you're letting them know when there's a promo so they can let their, you know, their family and friends know via their social media, oh my gosh, I loved this book. 95% of books are sold by personal recommendation. So,
wow. That's an important element. Say that again, just so everybody hears that.
Yeah, 95% of books are sold by word of mouth personal recommendation. So you've got to build up your, you've got to spend some time building up your fan base. And the thing about it is that a lot of times authors get to the end of, like, they've done cover reveals and they've done these elaborate blog tours and they've done all this other stuff, but they have no fans. I mean, they have fans, but they don't have any contact with them. And basically, you're just, it's like, you know, the hairdresser who moves to a new salon and doesn't bring her clients with her. It's like she's got to start from scratch. She's got to start all over. Every time you launch a book with no fan base, you're almost starting from scratch. So spend a little bit of time building it. And remember that you don't have to have staggering numbers. I've known people to have, you know, 50 people on their super fan list, and they get, the minute the book launches, like within 5 or 6 days, they have between 75 and 100 reviews on Amazon. It's crazy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I mean, and things, like you said, things change so much. And it's like it really, I mean, would your opinion be somebody tries to do their own book marketing or is your, you know, I know everybody's different. I get that. But in your opinion, it's like I'm going to put my two cents out there. I think authors in many cases are not great marketers of themselves, right? Because they're writers. That's what they love to do. Mm-hmm. And even if you add the element of a speaker piece with it, speakers are not the best marketers, right? I mean, overall, I do you know, I do know that the book complements you as a speaker. The speaker is a great way to build your credibility with the book. But, you know, when you think about authors marketing their own books, would your recommendation be to try to do it on your own like this and focus in on core fundamentals? Or would your opinion be, you know, find somebody who can market you and make that part of your budget when you do your book? I'm curious what you think.
I think that you're publishing a book is like starting a business. You have to align yourself. You have to realize what you're good at and what you're not good at. So when I started my business, I did my own accounting, and I was terrible at it. I hate doing accounting. I'm not good at it. I pay for an almost full-time accountant now to do all of the business accounting for us. That's part of my business. So I think that as an author, I realize it's a creative project, but you've got to figure out what you're good at, focus on doing that, and then, you know, hire out for the rest.
Yeah, I'm going to say I concur. Just as a small publisher, it's like, you know, it's so hard for anybody to say, hey, I'm fabulous, I'm wonderful, book me for, you know, an author review or a fireside chat on my book. But having mm-hmm. somebody else do it, it just adds the credibility and the nudge, the oomph level. So it's great.
Absolutely.
One of the things I always end the show, and we're almost out of time, Penny, but you're fabulous. I'd love to have you back again because this is, you know, a recurring theme for us is, you know, we too as a publisher in part, as a hybrid publisher, we in part market our authors, but at the same time, you know, we definitely have a recommendation. Don't try to do it yourself. You know, it doesn't make sense. Go write and, you know, start another book, but have somebody else help market you. So that said, what would be one or maybe just one gem of an idea that you can leave our audience with that will motivate or inspire them or kick them in the butt if that's the case? But I'd love for you to leave us with something positive, and we will get you on your way and say thank you for being with us. But what's one motivating thing you can leave us with?
Well, I think that first off, writing a book is a phenomenal, phenomenal thing. And you've got to love your book and believe in your book more than anybody else. And that's the first place that you need to start, is if you love your book so much that you want everybody to know about it, you still may not feel like you can call up that radio show and get that interview, but you can certainly, you know, focus on doing other things that you're really good at. But you've got to be so excited about your book. And I think if you've written one, you probably are, but a lot of times that's kind of when the fear sets in, which I have books out there. I completely understand that.
Yeah. I think that's it exactly. Love that. And that was awesome. And I want to thank you for being our leading lady today. You are awesome and amazing. Happy New Year to you. To our
Happy
listeners, it's like we are here every Monday at 9 a.m. and Fridays at 2 p.m. with different fabulous hosts on different things for women in business. So I want to tell everyone again, Happy New Year. We can say that all through the month of January, but we will see you on Friday for another Women Lead Radio show. And one thing that is our passion and mission, and I challenge each of us as women to do, is to be more supportive of one another. Have a great week.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.